Thank you so much. There's quite a history behind that song. I encourage you sometime just to read about it. It's fascinating. Thank you so much. The scripture reading today is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. And first of all, I'd like to share it with you from the New Revised Standard Version. And then I'll share it with you from the Message translation by Eugene Peterson. Little children, let us love not in word and speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and will reassure our hearts before Him whenever our hearts condemn us. Beloved, let us know that our hearts can condemn us, but God is greater than our hearts, for He knows everything. And since our hearts no longer condemn us, we receive from Him whatever we ask, because we obey His commandments and do what pleases Him. Let us listen from the Message translation. My dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there is something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. And friends, once that's taken care of, and we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves, we're bold and free before God. We're able to stretch out our hands and receive what we ask for because we're doing what He said and doing what pleases Him. And this is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We're in a series on forgiveness. This is a book by Johann Christoph Arnold. Why Forgive? And in this book, there's a chapter entitled Forgiving Ourselves. Because you see, sometimes the person who's hardest to forgive is yourself. You know, I wish we could just sit around a little dining table right now and look face to face and just share some stories. I believe if we could just all sit around a dining table and begin to discuss this subject, that there'd be a lot of nodding heads. Yeah, I felt that at times. Yes, I felt that at times. We'd have an interesting discussion about, you know, why do you think that's true? And I suppose there's a variety of reasons. But then I would hope that we would ask this question. Well, then, how do we forgive ourselves? What do we do with those voices of self-criticism, those voices of condemnation, those voices that seem to bring up all the time something in our past for which we know we've been forgiven by God or by others, but gosh, just can't seem to forgive ourselves? We could have a discussion about, has anything ever helped you? We could learn from one another, and we could see that we share so much in common. But I would hope that we'd also realize that it is indeed possible with God's help to forgive ourselves. And when we do, we're free to love and be loved like never, ever before. You see, when we go through this struggle to learn how to forgive ourselves, it's worth it because of what lies on the other side. In this particular chapter, Johann Arnold tells the story about a teacher that he had when he was an 11-year-old boy. Now, he was over in Paraguay in South America. His parents were missionaries. And there was a class in school of about 11 kids. They were around 13 years old, 11 years old. They were children of missionaries. They were all boys. And you can imagine what a group that was. And this particular year, they had a new teacher that come from the United States. His name was Delph Fransham. And since he was new, these boys thought they'd have a little fun with their new teacher to see what he was made of. They were mischievous, like, well, we all are growing up, but with a little bit of extra edge to it. These boys thought it would be fun to take him on a hike and wear him out. So they asked him, you know, teacher, would you like for us to show you the sights around here? We can take you on a nice hike. We can show you around. And the teacher wanted to be so close to those boys. They knew something was different about this teacher. And right away he said, yes, let's go on this hike. And they went on a 10-kilometer hike, which is about 6.2 miles. And they went through some land that was very treacherous and tremendous heat. And it was a hike that simply wore out Delph. And when he returned, he went home and collapsed from heat exhaustion. And the young boys congratulated themselves. They had worn their teacher out. But as soon as that teacher could get back to school, he stood up and said, boys, I enjoyed that hike. When can we go again? And they were shocked. And sure enough, they went again. And this time he was able to do the hike. And he came back and he shared with him how glad he was to have a group of young boys to show him around because he was new. And since he was a soccer player, he taught them how to play soccer, and they loved soccer, and they loved him as a teacher, they loved him as a coach. And Johann Arnold said there were times when he would look into his eyes and he would see a special glistening of tears. And he wondered what those tears were about, but they were happy tears. And it wasn't until much later on, as he writes in this particular chapter, that he found out what was going on and why Delph, their teacher, loved them so much and was such a great man to be around, and why he made such a life-changing difference in every one of their lives. What had happened was several years before he went to South America. He was backing up his pickup truck in the driveway of firewood. Now, coming home, he was interested in bringing the firewood into the house and getting on with his evening hour activities. And he could not hear his 2-year-old son running out to greet his father. And so you know what happened, only it really was the worst. And so with this little boy in his hands and his wife by his side, Katie, they went to the hospital and there was nothing that could be done. And so it was an accident. His wife said it was an accident. He knew it was an accident. But you can imagine what he felt about that. And for some time, He was a crushed man. He felt as if he could never, ever, ever, ever get over this feeling that he was the blame. Even though he knew intellectually he was not the blame, he still couldn't get over the voice in his head reminding him of what he had done. And he couldn't forgive himself. Now his wife struggled with the same thing because perhaps she could have done something that would have made the difference, but she was able to recognize it as it truly was an unfortunate accident. And so this is what happens to us when we can't forgive ourselves. We become self-absorbed with ourselves. It's like digging a hole and we just get further and further down the hole. All we're thinking about is ourself. All we're thinking about is what we did. All we're thinking about is how much we're at fault. Self-absorption leads us nowhere. We get mired down more and more in the yuck And here's what I think happened to Delph, and here's how I think all of us can turn the corner. Turn the corner by turning from this preoccupation with ourself and what we have done, and turning outward to self-giving love to others. Now, it may take a while, but in this transition of turning from self-absorption to others and focusing on their needs and loving them, God gets involved in it through His grace. And we realize that God is greater than our hearts. And God knows everything. And when we give God just a little bit that He can work with, He will do the miracle. And so what happened to Delph was that he realized while he could not bring his child back to life again, he could make a difference in the lives of other children, in the lives of other youth. There were other people in the world that needed him. There were people in the world who needed a father figure. There were people in the world who needed a soccer teacher. There were people in the world who needed someone to go with them on a hike. And so he turned from preoccupation with himself and what he did, and he turned towards the future and what he could yet do. And he focused on what he could do to make a difference in the lives of others. And so he did that. And he did that as a tribute to his son, as a way of saying that as he loved others, he was loving his own son. And that the more he loved others and the more he realized that he was still loving his son, there was a healing taking place. And for us, I think it's the same. Stop your preoccupation upon merely yourself. Turn towards God. Put yourself in the flow of His grace. Put yourself in the place like when you take a little plant that's kind of withering. You put a little water on it, and then you take that plant and you put it in a windowsill where it can catch the sunlight. Place yourself in the windowsill of God's grace, His love, that you may catch the warm rays of His love, however it is that that works for you. And not only that, not only place yourself in the flow of God's grace, but then turn towards others and love them. And as we make that shift of turning from just merely thinking about ourselves to opening up to God and to others and who we yet can become and what we yet can do, we can forgive ourselves. And it's by God's grace and our cooperation. And so today, let me tell you we're a place where God's grace flows when we come to the table. When we come to receive Holy Communion, here's what we believe. It is the place where we can feel most loved and accepted and forgiven. It is the place where we take a little bit of bread and we dip it in a little bit of juice, and somehow or another, you see, we as Christians, we see it differently. It's not just a piece of bread and a little bit of juice. It's the body and blood of Christ given for us. What more could He do than give Himself to us that we might have life? And so when we come to the table, we receive the body and blood of Christ. We place ourselves in the flow of God's grace. And then as we depart from this table, and as we receive the benediction today, we go out to focus on the needs of others. And we love those within our household, in our neighborhood, in our place of work, at our place of play. And we realize that while we may be one person in the world, to one person, we may be their world. And that's what Dale Fransham was to those 11 boys in his class. Something happened to every single one of those children. Their lives took on a marvelous sense of significance. Every one of them. Every one of them were changed because of the love of a teacher and the love of a soccer coach. You just never know. And so as we prepare ourselves for communion, I don't know what more I can say. I look at the cross and I ask myself, if I can't forgive myself, what should Jesus do? Should he be re-crucified all over again? No, God forbid. And then I realize it's enough. His death on the cross and his resurrection, it's enough for me to take as his grace to apply to my life. The only preparation for communion, of course, is the prayer of forgiveness. Let us turn now as we confess our sins. Come to the Lord's table, all you who love him. Come to the Lord's table, confess your sin. Come to the Lord's table, be at peace. We have not believed you or trusted in your power. Lord, help our unbelief. We have sinned. We have stained our souls by our action and inaction. Cleanse us, Lord. We are broken by disease, bruised by the sins of others, weakened and unable to repair ourselves. Heal us, Lord. We ignore your call to center our lives in you, and so are deaf to the hopes and cries of the poor, the sick, the needy, and the earth. Ground us, Lord. When we confess our sinful ways, God abundantly pardons. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, O God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From the rising of the sun to its setting, your name is praised among all peoples. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, Almighty One. Blessed are you, Jesus Christ. In the power of the Spirit, you created all things, blessed them, and called them good. You called to yourself a people to make your mercy and truth known in all the world. We betrayed your calling. You were faithful. We wandered from the way. You called us to return and led us home. And still we turned from your ways, abused your creatures, and made ourselves slaves to sin and death. At the right time, you came and dwelt among us as one of us, bringing good news to the poor, healing the sick, raising the dead, sharing table with the unrighteous, and teaching the way that leads to life. By your incarnation, life, suffering, execution, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery, made a new covenant with us by water and the Spirit, and receive us and all your saints to yourself in glory everlasting. On the night of your betrayal, Lord Jesus, you took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to your disciples, and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You did the same with the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is poured out in the new covenant in my name, in my blood. Blessed Trinity, in remembrance of all you have done to save us, we offer ourselves to you in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has come among us. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ abides with us. Christ will come again. Pour out your Spirit on us. Pour out your Spirit on us. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts. Make these gifts the body and blood of Christ. Make us, through them, Christ's body alive in the world. Abba, Father, let your kingdom come. Glory to you. Glory to you. Come, Lord Jesus, be our daily bread. Glory to you. Glory to you. Holy Spirit, send us to the world. Glory to you. Glory to you. Holy Blessed Trinity, one God forever. Glory to you. Glory to you.